There's a rumor that's gone around for years that when driving, men have a difficult time asking for directions. Some of that may be true. But then we always know where we're going, so why ask a source that is less than we are? I don't quite understand that. But we have a hard time believing that there's some source that has a greater knowledge than we have. The passengers that ride with us often have a differing opinion. And now in the days of smartphones and GPSs, you know, we can prove to be pretty crazy idiots quite quickly as we're driving along. And, well, in this particular passage, if it happens to be you women who are having to put up with us men in that situation, there's a great phrase here that sounds like comes straight from God. And so if we declare that we know where we're going, you can always say, do not trust your own understanding. Men and women can sometimes act with that kind of stubbornness that I described when men drive. When we're setting a direction for our lives. So often, we feel like we know where we're going with our lives. We don't need any outside instruction to tell us. We have our target in mind. We have our path in mind. And we have confidence in what we understand. We don't need outside advice. This scripture suggests otherwise. This scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trust, lean not. What does trust mean? It means putting your whole weight of your existence on some other source besides yourself. That word lean really is a heavier word than it sounds. It means the same kind of thing, putting the weight of who you are to be held up by some other power besides yourself. It is reaching for a source outside yourself, and that source is the Lord, according to this particular passage. It's hard to do that. It's hard to give up control to some other power or some other source to guarantee our happiness and our welfare. We know, we think, how to be happy and how to take care of ourselves. You know, our problem isn't always with the trusting element of this. It's the object of our trust that sometimes puts us in a shaky place. So for our happiness and welfare, we look for some source to create it. What is it in the Peanuts cartoon that we learned that happiness is a warm puppy? Sounds good to me, being a puppy person myself. But then what if the puppy runs away? What if we don't have a puppy? What if we don't have that resource of happiness? Well, happiness is financial stability. Happiness is good relationships. Happiness is a family that's unified and put together. Happiness is a good job. What if that breaks down? What if the company closes and we get laid off? What if we don't have a job? What if our financial savings somehow crumble? What if the stock market starts to tumble? What if some kind of chaos comes into our relationship and the family breaks apart? What if we lose touch with someone close to us? What if those sources that we depended upon for our happiness are no longer there? Then what's our life going to be like? If we trusted our significance on those kinds of connections, then we find that they may not be as strong for as long as we needed them or trusted them. Then we have to go to a greater source, a source that knows us, that knows our value, that knows how to give us significance and meaning and happiness, if you will, and even deeper than that, joy in our soul. Who can do that for us? Well, the one who created us, the one who understands us completely and knows how to put his hands on our soul and our spirit, and as the word here in Scripture says, our heart, and fill it with all of the right sense of values and being and trust. There's a story told that comes out of the life of Henry Ford. He had a friend who was a mechanical genius. Name was Charles Steinmetz. It was said that he could build a motor in his mind, and in his mind he could see how to fix anything that went wrong. He was a brilliant, brilliant man. And what he fixed ran with precision. And one day the assembly line at the Ford plant went on the blink. So they called in Steinmetz because none of Henry Ford's men could fix it. And Steinmetz tinkered for a few minutes, just a few, and then threw the switch, and everything ran like clockwork. A few days later, Ford received a bill from Steinmetz for $10,000. It was quite a price, particularly in that day and even today. And so Ford wrote back and said, "Charlie, don't you think it's a little high for a couple minutes of tinkering?" And Steinmetz sent back a revised bill that says, "Tinkering, $10. Knowing where to tinker, $9,990. See, if we want things straightened out, we have to go to the source, the one who understands, the creator who understands us, who knows where to tinker in our lives. So the writer of this proverb is saying, the Lord is the one. Trust in the Lord. And trust with all of your heart. And that phrase catches me as a Presbyterian because I get a sense that we Presbyterians think we're pretty smart. We're the real thinking person's religion. We know our theology. We're taught well. We understand things well. We're the smart religion. We're the intellectuals. We like the ideas of Christianity. They're a wonderful philosophy of living. But Christianity is more than ideas. It is more than an intellectual exercise. And I think that's what the writer of Proverbs is trying to say to us. It's saying we need to trust not just with our mind, but with our heart. We need to take what we know about God and let it sink into our very center of our being, our soul. We need to have it shape our values and our will and the decision-making that we have. It just can't be a discussion topic for us. Christianity must be more than some kind of a theological class. God wants more than our mind. He wants all of us. He wants to be the Lord of everything in our lives. Christ wants to be more than a great teacher. And that's what a lot of people say, isn't it? The people who aren't necessarily believers in the same way that a number of us might be, but they respect his teaching. They like his teaching. They just don't want him to meddle in their lives. I had a friend, when living in another city, with whom I had lunch regularly. He wasn't a believer in Christ. But we talked about Christ every once in a while. And at one point, I was pretty direct with him and said, "What is it that you're really going to do with Christ and his claims. And his response was, like a lot of people, well, I give Christ's teachings a lot of respect. And I used a classic argument with him that you have heard as well, I'm sure. How can you call Christ a great teacher when, according to the historical biblical record, he claimed to be God? That's a little nutso, isn't it? To claim to be God must make Christ some kind of a lunatic, or at least an amazing liar, or perhaps he was the Lord he claims to be. I said to my friend, Dick, he's either a liar or a lunatic or Lord. Which one are you going to choose? Well, he didn't want to deal with it that day. He came back the next week to our lunch and said to me, Jack, I got to tell you, I used your argument the other day. And I said, what are you talking about? Well, I had this friend of mine sit down with me, and I don't know how the person of Christ came up, but he said to me, you know, Christ is a great teacher, but I don't understand why people and groups make a big buzz about him as they do. And so I went after him like you went after me the other day. I said, what do you mean, great teacher? He claimed to be God. How could you be a great teacher and be that kind of a lunatic? He's either a lunatic or he's a liar, or maybe he is who he claims to be, and that is the Lord of all. And I said, Dick, what are you doing talking like that? You're not even a Christian. You know, you don't believe in Christ as Lord either. And he said, well, I may not, but I love to win arguments. Well, being a Christian is more than winning arguments. Being a Christian is more than arm wrestling someone to admit that they have to deal with the person of Christ in an honest way. It is believing with all your heart that he is Lord. The Bible says that because of that, we're to submit to him. That's what the passage said. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. In all your ways. You might even be able to read that in all your days, submit to him. Meaning, we're not submitting just from 9:30 to 10:30 on Sunday mornings. We're not just submitting in our religious gatherings. We're giving our Mondays to God, to our Lord. We're giving our Tuesdays to him. We're giving our Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, the rest of the week to him. We're not just giving our devotional time to him when we're reading scripture on our own. We are giving him the other avenues of our life as well. When we're with our families, when we're in our workplace, when we are in our neighborhood, when we're with our friends, when we're dealing with events or clubs or activities, we're being called to make Christ Lord of our life in all of those situations. So that lordship, that value system, that captured heart is the same everywhere we go. There's a sacred element to our life no matter what the environment is. It just doesn't turn on the Sabbath or Sunday. In all our ways, we give ourselves to him as Lord. We serve him no matter where we are. If we don't serve Christ, we're going to serve somebody. The great theologian Bob Dylan said that. Gotta serve somebody. The lyrics of that song, at least some of them, are the following, as the poetic Bob Dylan wrote. You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord. But you're going to have to serve somebody. Serving is not the question. Trusting is not the question. It's who you're going to trust and serve becomes the question. You know, where is it that you're going to land with your life? Into whose arms, into whose care, under whose direction are you going to live your life? Are you going to even ask for directions? But there's got to be some place where you end up. End up with the Lord who makes your life paths straight. With all of the twists and turns and chaotic events in our life travels, there's got to be a safe place where we're guaranteed a life that extends in fulfillment through eternity. A number of years ago, there was established an Eisenhower Interstate Highway System. Sound familiar to you? The interesting thing about the Eisenhower Interstate Highway System is this, that the law demanded in that highway system that for every 5 miles of road, 1 mile had to be absolutely straight, no turns. 1 mile out of five had to be absolutely straight. Know why? Because there was a belief at the time that if we ever get attacked by an enemy, if some chaos or crisis happens, if airports that we have are bombed or harmed, Eisenhower wanted 1 mile of straight road every five so he could land planes. Some place where the airplanes could land safely, no matter what chaos was happening in our country. Fascinating. He wanted a safe place for landing. He wanted the road to be made straight. That's the phrase that comes out of Scripture. I don't think he necessarily used that for designing the roads, but I'm using it for designing this sermon. And that is that God wants to make our road straight. So that spiritually, with all of the twists and the turns in life, there will always be a safe place to land. There will be a place that is designed by God for us. There will be a place where our lives stop being twisted and chaotic. There will be a place where God's hand is on our lives and makes everything straight, because he's the only one that can do it in a spiritual sense. The writer of Proverbs wanted us to know that. So he writes, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Hallelujah and amen.